This semester on the Church 307 podcast, we're just going to meet some people, some real life people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. So sit back and hear some great stories. I am sitting here with Michaela Cena. Michaela is a good friend of my family's. Her whole family is friends with my family. Mm-hmm. We're in a life group together. So I know her story, but I want you all to hear her story. I think it's cool to see how God used difficult things in her life to draw her to himself. And I think that many of us have similar experiences to that. So I think it will be helpful for us to hear your story, Michaela. Could you kind of give us the short version, the 1 or 2 minute version of your story about how you became a follower of Christ?
Okay. I actually grew up in New Life. I went here as a kid, went through the youth group. I feel like when I had those questions, I was looking at them. I didn't really feel connected to the church when I was younger, or I didn't feel like I fit in when I was younger. And so kind of drifted away once I went to college and things like that, and then got married. Nate and I weren't going to the church or in a church community. And then we went through some struggles in our marriage with fertility and IVF. And at that point is when we kind of got brought back or nudged by God. Mm-hmm. And then ended up leading a life group for several years. And now we're in the church and have had great friends and met a lot of new people and feel more connected in the community with our faith.
Yeah. I know so many people who went through a difficult season due to infertility, and that's kind of a rising struggle that more and more people are struggling with. And, the IVF question all and miscarriages and all that. Can you talk about the pain that you experienced in that season, and why would that cause you to turn to God?
I think I was in such turmoil or feeling like I was doing something wrong, or we were being punished because we weren't in a church. We didn't pray together. We didn't do anything that was religious or had faith back in it. I said that wrong. I don't know. Yeah. Didn't have faith in anything, or we didn't believe in anything. And our marriage was struggling in different ways at that time too. And I think going through the miscarriages, I mean, I remember one morning I woke up, I think it was after our third miscarriage, and I just felt someone like pushing me. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be a Sunday morning. And so I woke Nate up and I said, I think we're supposed to go to church today. Something is telling me we have to go to church. Mm-hmm. Little did we know that Wes was preaching a sermon on parenting when we walked through the door. And they said, I'm never going back there.
Yeah. So, can you talk about, you did come back, apparently. Mm-hmm.
We did come back.
Surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how did the church help? How did it lead you through that process and through that healing process? Was that kind of an immediate thing? Like we walked through the doors and all of a sudden everything was great and better? Or what did that journey look like?
It took time, because I think even when we started for, I think the sermon was like 3 or 4 weeks. And I think we caught the very first week of it. So we ended up coming back and finishing those sermons. And at the time, my mom wasn't living in Gillette. She was taking care of her father. And we're like, we're going to church. When you get back, you're going to come with us. And we started to bring everybody back to the church with us. Mm. And my mom even went here when we were kids. And so we all started coming back. And I think it just took time coming to the services, hearing that God does love you. He doesn't punish us for our mistakes that we make. And then I think there was a transition where Billy ended up taking over, and then he did a brick sermon where everybody got a brick when they walked through the door.
Yeah.
And it was taking that brick to the altar and just giving it over that I just felt a relief. Yeah. I felt comfort. And then at that point, we decided to get baptized. And I can't remember if Nate had been baptized before, but I was dedicated as a child. And so then we each got baptized right after that.
So that moment coming down, bringing the brick down, has the journey since then just kind of been a up and to the right, and you've constantly been pursuing God with all your heart ever since then? Or has it been more of a up and down journey?
I think it's always an up and down journey. I think you have really highs and then you have really lows. I mean, our struggles didn't end there when we started going to church. We still struggled for, I think, another 5 years. Mm. And I think that's when we got to know you guys, got to know your story.
Yep.
Then we started life groups at the church, and our life group was for people without kids and infertility issues. And so I think you have lots of good times, and then there are things that bring you back thinking, oh, what did I do wrong this time? When in all reality, the more you study the Bible, you learn more biblical truth, then you know that you haven't done anything wrong. It's not your plan, it's God's plan. And I think that was the hardest for us, is just waiting to see what his plan was.
Yeah. Our life group started as the infertility life group. Yep.
And there was five of us in that group, five couples.
And we joke now because we've got more kids in our life group than any life group. So, the pendulum has swung on that one, but, can you talk to us about the seasons as you were going through the struggles of infertility that did not end immediately? Mm-hmm. Was there ever a period in that when you started to doubt God's love for you, or you started to doubt whether or not God was real? If you were struggling and you, even though you're being faithful to him, that you weren't getting pregnant and you weren't having successful pregnancies. Did that ever cause you to doubt God?
I don't think so. I think because we had the support system, and I had other friends that were going through the same thing, and then watching them. I mean, we were the last couple to end up getting pregnant in the group.
Right,
and so I think just watching everybody else and seeing that God does have a plan, and he, I mean, whether it would have us having getting pregnant, or maybe there would have been a different path. I mean, we don't know that back then, but I think just waiting for our turn and remembering that we're not doing anything wrong, and just to continue to follow him.
I remember the conflicting emotions that we would have, and I'm sure you guys had them, when your friends are getting pregnant and you've been praying for it, maybe even longer than they were, and people are accidentally getting pregnant and you're torn between wanting to celebrate with them and to be happy for them. But at the same time, you feel this emotion of, why not me, God? And I think there were many times when maybe I didn't doubt the existence of God, or didn't even doubt the goodness of God, but I doubted his plan for my life. And I wondered, okay, what do you have for me? Can you talk a little bit about your path towards deciding, or wrestling with, am I not even called to be a mom? Am I not even called to have kids of my own? Maybe this is just what God has for me.
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't even know if I know the answer to that right now. Yeah. I remember several times in our struggle, Nate and I wouldn't even be on the same page. He'd be like, well, maybe we need to do embryo adoption, or we need to do this. And I remember just keep thinking, well, at this point I feel done. I'm tired of doing shots. I'm tired of doing all this stuff. And then I felt like there was always then a nudge for something else. You find a program that you pay for three, you get one free. I mean, there was just different things. And so I think that is God nudging us in those seasons of, there, you might not be able to carry, but someone else could carry. Or I remember being at the delivery for you guys for Lincoln. And that was, sorry, I might start crying. That was one of the most beautiful moments of my life, getting to see that. Cause then I thought, maybe I won't ever see this. So that was awesome. Sorry.
I can definitely relate. Can you talk about the role that, and you've already talked about it a little bit, but what was the role that other believers played in that journey, in encouraging and helping you to research and discover? Was there ever a time when you felt judged by people who didn't believe that IVF was moral? Or was there ever a time that you felt like other believers played a negative role, or was it all positive?
Most of the time it was positive. I think the most negative we got would be from family members not understanding it, or even close friends that had kids and they didn't know how to then react to you when you find out you're pregnant, and then you go so many weeks and then you miscarry. I think it was those things that were hard, is trying to explain to people why we're going through the process that we're going in for them to understand it.
Did you wrestle at all with the morality of different procedures and things, or was that all pretty clear to you?
It was all clear to us.
Yeah.
I think the hardest struggle that we had was whether or not we would adopt a child that may not have either one of our DNA. I think that's where we struggled the most with.
Yep.
And there were times that we thought about it, but then it felt like God was always nudging us to try something else.
Yeah. Was there a person that played a key role in your spiritual development? Somebody who really spoke life into you or gave you a lot of wisdom that you rely on a lot in your relationship with God?
In those moments, no. I think it was truly all God nudging us to come to church and until we got here. And then I think there was several people throughout New Life that kind of helped us along our path. But and that in the beginning part, I think it was all God moving us. Because I honestly, and Nate and I have talked about it a few times, I'm not sure where our marriage would have gone if we wouldn't have gone through the struggles of miscarriages and infertility.
Wow.
Because I mean, like I said, we weren't healthy in other ways. We were going out and doing things that now we would never do. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was mostly God telling us that either you are going to start going to church, you're going to change your habits and beliefs, or this marriage may not make it.
Yeah. So the people that did speak into your life or helped you along the way after you did start coming mm-hmm. to the church, was there a type of mentorship or teaching that was most beneficial to you? Somebody who gave you some advice that really helped you take a next step?
I think Suzanne McFadden.
Yeah.
I mean, but I also know that she went through struggles too. And so I think just listening to her, and then, I mean, Darcy and I went through everything hand in hand. And I think it was just nice having another person, because before really knowing Susanna or anybody else, I didn't know anybody that was in the church that has gone through the struggles like yeah. that before.
So you didn't feel like you're doing it alone.
Right.
You have a community.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find community before church was a major part of your life? Were you a part of another community that was kind of filling that void, even though it wasn't a religious community? Or was that just kind of a void in your life and you didn't have community, people that you could walk through these things with?
No, I think it was just a void because I never felt comfortable talking to anybody about it. I felt embarrassed, like we were doing something wrong. Because a lot of times people are like, well, why aren't you guys having kids? You guys have been married for 8 years. You yep. need to get on it.
yep.
And I think every time someone would say something like that, it's just like, well, I'm doing something wrong.
And it's such a touchy time because people want to give advice. Mm-hmm. They want to help. And some of the things that they say just when you've gone through it are right. just silly. Mm-hmm. I remember anytime somebody would say, well, have you just tried? And as soon as the word just came out of their mouth, I'm like, there's no simple, easy solution right. to this. It is a complex, difficult thing to walk right. through. And really the only way that you can help somebody else is to walk the journey mm-hmm. with them, not to swoop in and give them some simple, quick fix,
right.
but to walk the difficult journey with them. And the church is so uniquely positioned to walk with people, especially when we do it in the life groups, mm-hmm. that we walk the journey with each other to support each other and love each other, right. even through the difficult season when it seems like there is no right answer. Mm-hmm. There's no solution.
Right.
But, yeah. So how long have you been actively following Christ?
Oh, let's see, Sarai, so like 10 years now, 10 or 12 years, wow. I think, because we were in our first couple years of marriage when we were going through it. And then, I mean, it took 8 years for us to get pregnant with Sarai.
It is amazing to think that it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Can you think of one lesson that you've learned or one thing that you really felt conviction about that you feel like is something you really want to make sure that people hear? That is kind of a lesson that God has taught you that you want to teach others.
I think life groups. Life groups are a big part of our lives. I mean, anytime we don't have life groups, I miss life groups.
Yeah.
I think if you find the right fit and you find the people that support you and you can feel comfortable telling your deepest, darkest secrets to, because I feel like that's what we've done in some of our life groups, that they help you and hold you accountable and remind you when you're going through hard times that God does love you.
Yeah.
That he doesn't do things to you on purpose and that you are his.
Yeah. We live in a society that is so tempted to be private and hide mm-hmm. everything. The idea of being vulnerable with people, especially people that you're not blood related to,
right.
is so scary to the average person in our society. But when you've experienced what it's like to be totally transparent and vulnerable with people that you're in a committed relationship with outside of your family, you recognize that is what God intended the church to be.
Right.
A community of people who supports each other no matter what. Our love for each other is unconditional, not mm-hmm. because we feel unconditional love, but because we've been called to unconditional love. And that's how we help each other out and invest in right. each other. So,
well, and they always talk about those inner circles. I mean,
yeah.
some people in my life group are before some of my family members that I would rather go to them and talk to them about struggles that are happening before I would ever go and talk to my family, because they're going to give you the advice and the love that I think God gives us too.
Yep. And they're doing it in a way, hopefully they're doing it in a way that there's no selfish motivations. Mm-hmm. They're purely doing it because this is a support that we can offer to each other. And we've received that support. We've received that gift of love. And so we enjoy giving it to each other.
Right.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for telling us your story and being vulnerable.
Yes.
Not always easy.
No, it's not.
No, you did a great job.
Well, thank you.